You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and really thrilled to welcome Chrissy Yamaguchi, world champion, gold medalist, and someone who is making a lot of progress in helping young children attain literacy, which is something, you know, you think, well, they go to school, they're going to read. Chrissy, you're in town to promote your third book and talk about Dream Foundation. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being patient. I'm always very honest with my audience, so I'll go ahead and tell them that I left you waiting in the lobby, so thank you so much for being gracious and waiting, because I know you've got a lot of appearances, including schools. How long are you in Chicago for?
Just here for a few days, just a couple days, and hitting some schools and a couple bookstores, and just trying to get the word out of my third book and its new release.
And this is called Care is Kindness?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this book.
So it's all about Kara the cat, mm-hmm. and she's a caring cat, hence the name, and it's all about paying kindness forward. She reaches out to a friend in need and helps him out, and all she asks for in return is that he pay the kindness forward. And it kind of trickles through several of their friends, and as good karma has it, it comes full circle back to Kara, and a friend of hers helps her. And so it's just a message that, you know, having two daughters, you know, I can't teach them enough to be kind and to be a good friend and have respect for their friends, and then also the concept of paying it forward. So that was kind of the inspiration behind this book.
And when did you start writing children's books?
About 5 years ago was the release of my first children's book called Dream Big, Little Pig.
Oh.
And, you know, my kids were 4 and 6 at the time, so in that picture book reading phase, and it was fun to do a project for them.
And when you start developing the stories, is so much of it based on sort of the relationship you have with your kids and they have with each other?
A little bit, mm-hmm. yes. I mean, it's always trying to find what that main storyline is going to be and the message behind it. But I do try to involve the girls for sure. They're an audience and my biggest critics out there.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like,
what kind of things do they pick on?
You got to use more descriptive words and, you know.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty funny. And some of the characters are in there because of them and stuff like that.
When you start developing a story, Do you storyboard at first, or do you have, like, because I actually haven't spoken to that many children's books authors, so this is a pleasure on so many levels. Do you start, you know, do you have like a foundation that you build from? You have an idea of where you want, how you want the pictures to sort of flow from the story you're telling?
I really don't think about what it looks like at mm-hmm. all. It's really, for me, just the story,
sure.
and the message, and then developing the characters and making it flow for you know, what I'm trying to say. And that process is just kind of step by step. And then once I turn it into my editor, then he kind of gets a better picture, I guess, of like, oh, you know, we don't have to be so literal here. Maybe the illustrator can show that. And then as they work with the art department and the illustrator, it really starts to come together. So it's a fun process.
Oh, it sounds like it. We are talking to Chrissy Yamaguchi. She is in town to talk about her new book, Kara's Kindness. Mm-hmm. And I was saying foundation because I want to make sure I find out how you got involved with the Dream Foundation. Is this something you started?
It is. So it's the Always Dream Foundation.
Always dream. Always.
And,
that's a good thing to do, is always dream.
Always dream. And that's kind of been my motto since I was a young skater. And it's fitting for the foundation as well, because we embrace the hopes and dreams of underserved children. And the last 5 years, we have focused on early childhood literacy and bring reading programs into kindergarten classrooms. So it's, you know, reading and the love of reading and getting them interested in reading really creates a foundation for reading on grade level and, you know, sets them up for success, not just academically, but in life as well.
And what drew you to that? Because, I mean, once, you know, you're a world champion, gold mm-hmm. medalist, everyone knows who you are, and you're, I mean, looked up to by so many people. Were you kind of looking for, what can I do with this, you know, this fame or...
You know, it was really after the Olympics in 92. So actually, Always Dream, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. So
congratulations.
Hard to believe that. But right after the Olympics, the tour I skated on benefited the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So I really got to know what it was like to be hands-on with an organization and to really be making a difference directly with the families. And it inspired me to start my own. So we established Always Dream. And it's just kind of been going ever since. So a lot of support from my family. My parents have always been very community-minded. So, you know, my mom, my uncle, you know, my personal attorney, they were all like the very first board members and helped me establish the foundation.
And 20 years, then, do you keep in touch with any of the students who have been sort of impacted by the work that you've done? Because that'd be kind of fun to, you know,
yeah.
Like some
yes.
of them are like 25 years
so
old, 26.
Well, it's only really been the last 5 years that we focused on early literacy.
Okay.
So, you know, we have helped kids from all other organizations, like for back to school programs mm-hmm. and Hurricane Katrina victims and just, you know, a lot of different areas before we focused in on literacy. So, yeah, I'm trying to think if we, I mean, there are organizations that we still keep in touch with and are very close with just because they're kind of a personal interest. So yeah.
Well, and it's a little bit like Kara's kindness, where you pay it forward, and you know I'm sure it's come back to you in so many ways that you don't even know because of how much you've had an impact on young people's lives. So it's a tremendous thing you've done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I was very nervous, and I was thinking about meeting you, and there's so much that I mean. I imagine that when fans meet you for the first time, there's so many different things they want to say to you. What are some of the experiences that you've had with fans?
Oh, I mean, lots of different ones, I guess.
I mean, because I know that there was drama in the Olympics that you were involved in. So it's one of those things where I think that you rose above and were such a such a delight to so many people who are watching the Olympics.
Are you talking about the whole Tanya Nancy thing? That was actually 2 years after me.
Was it really?
Yes.
God,
yes.
So, thank God.
Thank goodness. So I was out of there before that all happened.
Well, because I think that when we think of ice skating in the 90s, people probably folded in like that. Do they make that mistake the same way I did?
Yeah, sometimes, because Tanya and Nancy were my teammates for 92.
Right.
And Nancy was my roommate, so we were really good friends. And then 2 years later, I was skating professionally on Stars and Ice at that time, and then that happened. So, you know, I think the whole world of skating was thrust into the media spotlight at that point. And, it kind of seemed like we were all in it together. I guess
it does seem that way. And how old were you when you started skating?
I was about six.
Six years old,
yeah.
And how long before, because I read that you, because you were working so hard, you ended up having some homeschooling and then moving to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point did your parents know, oh, this young lady, our daughter means it and she's going to go places with this? Because it takes a lot of commitment and sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, by seventh grade, I was going every day before school, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day. And then eventually it got up to like 4 to 6 hours a day. Back in those days, mm-hmm. we were competing the compulsory figures as well, which were the figure eights that you traced on the ice. So that took up, I don't know, like 2/3 of our training time. So, there was many, many hours. And probably by junior high, it was like, okay, this is a turning point. She's competing nationally now. And they just saw how much I was passionate about it. And I was just lucky that they kind of let me go with it.
I mean, when did you start feeling, and that, how great, and thankfully they did, because so many people have enjoyed the work that you do, both on and off the ice. At what point did you start feeling the competitiveness?
I would say from the get-go.
Really? You're like, I'm going to be the best at this.
I had that competitive streak in me. Even as a young kid, I always had to get more Easter eggs than my brother and sister and everything. I think at my very first competition, and it's still pretty vivid. Like, I was 11th out of 12 skaters, and I just kind of like, oh, Well, you know, and you learn early on, you just got to skate and do your best, and it's judged. So a lot of the results are out of your hand, and you know, you've got to be happy with just how you skate, or, you know, if you didn't skate well, learn from that. And, but, you know, I still wanted one of those medals that the other girls were running around wearing. So I think at that point, it was just kind of like, oh, I get it. I got to be better than them. So that kind of, you know, got the competitive juices going fairly early, probably when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
And has that experience, the extent to which you put so much work into becoming a world champion, mm-hmm. how does that influence your relationship with your daughters? I mean, what do you
it's
see?
Hard to say. Yeah.
Do you ever see them like, you know, do you feel like that, do I let them find what they want to do? Mm-hmm. Do I, you know, push them in one direction? Do you feel yourself sort of, you know, navigating those waters?
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, it's I've lived it, so I know what it takes to really focus in and go in one direction. So unless my kids really show extreme passion for a specific thing, I'm kind of like stepping back and letting them do their own thing right now and be there to support them and encourage them and still instill the values that, hey, if this is where you're going, it's 100% or 110%. So it's hard. Our younger one, our 10-year-old, does skate, and you know, of course, everyone around me was like, she needs to come more. Like, she doesn't skate enough and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of letting her.
The bar is set so high with mommy.
Right. So I'm like, you know, it's her thing. And, you know, she is starting to kind of get, you know, oh, I want to accomplish this. I want to do this by the end of the year. So I'm like, okay, she's showing some initiative and, you know, I'll support that. But I'm not going to like force her to go skating like 5 hours a day if she's not. You know,
right. Yeah. Because if she loses the passion for it, mm-hmm. what's the point of it then?
Right.
Were there points throughout your career where you're like, is the competitiveness and the passion, do they kind of stay the same? Is there a point where you're like, why am I doing this? I mean, I don't want to.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, it's not always roses and, you know, sunshine. That's for sure. And there are definitely ebbs and flows and peaks and valleys. And I think you have to go through those rough times in order to remind yourself how much you do want it or how much you love it or want to improve. So, skating particularly is a very humbling sport because, you know, there isn't a whole lot of success. And to learn something new, you're constantly falling down. You fall down, you get up, fall down, get up, fall down, get up. So, you know, it's very humbling and in that way. So, you know, in a way, it teaches you a good work ethic. But you learn that, okay, success is... It's a very fine line, and you just have to appreciate, you know, when it comes along.
And you also were a double skater. I didn't realize that. That has to be doubly hard obviously if there's two of you, but worrying about each other on the ice or like the other relying on somebody mm-hmm. as opposed to being a solo competitor.
Yeah, it's definitely teamwork. You
of
know?
Course, yeah.
You have. A trust and respect,
right?
And
you're on the ice
that.
And you're being flipped up in the air, and
right?
So
yes,
much.
Yeah. So yeah, my partner was Rudy Galindo, and we competed for 7 years together. And you know, we started just kind of as fun. We were 11 and 13. It was like, oh, how cute, how fun, la la la. And then we were both very strong single skaters and started to have success as a team. And we were kind of like, wow. And then eventually we won 2 U.S. pair championship. So, we were having fun, and it was, it was nice to be able to experience something different within our sport, the two different disciplines, because it was different. It taught me, I guess, how to work with someone else and how to trust them and to not blame, you know, when you're out there as a team, it's not his mistake or my mistake, it's our mistake. And, I think that was a really good lesson, I guess.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, and everything that you do, you are such an admired athlete. You are always just someone that people look to. And there's a, how do I put this? There's just such a your presence is so solid. And I think people are drawn to you. Do people still come up to you and like, it's got to be, people feel like, I know you, but I'm not sure why I know you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I do get that a lot. It's like, I went to school with you. I'm like,
that's not it.
Are you a flight attendant? I get a flight attendant a lot. believe it or not. Because I don't know. People travel a lot and I don't know.
Maybe seem very friendly and helpful.
I guess.
There's a sweetness to that a little bit. And you are in town again. I want to make sure everyone knows that you have three children's books, Care is Kindness. What were the other two?
Dream Big, Little Pig, and It's a Big World, Little Pig.
Oh, so what made you change from pigs to cats?
There are a few years in between the books, and it was just time. I was like, oh, well, let's just do a whole new character. And, we knew it was probably going to be a different illustrator, and then the look would be different. So she's like, okay, let's just go in a new direction and start something else.
And we're thrilled that you are on this endeavor and reaching out to children with Always Dream Foundation. Where can people find out more information about Always Dream and your appearances?
AlwaysDream.org is a website, so you can find out more about what we do and how to be a part of it if you want to.
And volunteer, I bet.
Sure, yes. And just read to your kids. You know, that's really what it's all about. And I'm on Twitter and in Facebook and Instagram if you're looking to see, where I am next.
And tonight, this is Wednesday, so at 8 p.m. you'll be in Andersonville?
Naperville.
In Naperville.
At Anderson's
Bookshop. I knew there was a Ville. Yeah, Anderson's, yeah. I combined everything. Yeah. Anderson's Bookshop in Naperville tonight at 8 o'clock. At 7? I've heard it both ways, Katie. How much more running around do you have to do? You're going to a couple of schools today as well?
We'll visit a couple of schools, and that's great because I get to read to the kids and really see their reactions firsthand. And then we do a little Q&A, so it's and sign books for them.
I'm kind of jealous. I never got to have a Chrissy Yamaguchi come read at my school. Thank you so much again for your time. And you could not have picked a better week to be in Chicago in October.
It's beautiful.
Really wonderful
beautiful.
Weather.
Yeah, thank you, Patty.
Oh, my pleasure. Safe travels, Chrissy Yamaguchi. Find her on Twitter, on Facebook. Go see her in Naperville at Anderson's Bookshop at 7 o'clock tonight. And check out, and I know everyone can hear us all over the place. Look up for her books in stores, Care is Kindness. Go online and find her other books as well. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you.